This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is the show, but Amy is not here. Chris is not here. Johnny Rabbit, that's me. I'm here. Suzanne Corbett, as you may have heard, unless you've just tuned in, is here. And we, of course, have been talking while the news, I'm sure the news was on. You know, you're in a studio like this. You don't hear what's going on. I know the news was going on, but I couldn't begin to tell you anything they said.
And oh, I know we heard listening. It.
you would think, well, what the heck?
Well, we were talking food.
We were, and that was exciting. You were talking, well, of course, Annie Guns.
Oh, I love Annie Guns.
Oh,
what Rook does there, it's great. And then next door at the smokehouse,
yes,
you can fill up a basket and just have your own gourmet nosh wherever your little heart desires.
It's been out there quite a while. Now, what about this place, J. Pasteria?
Oh, it's a great little Mediterranean place, Turkish. Has the best meat pies. It's located across the street from Ronnie's Plaza, where the old Ronnie's Drive-In used to be.
Oh, yeah.
For those people know, which is at South Limburg and
Baptist Church
Road. That's right. And they have one of the best falafels you'd ever want to taste.
All right, now tell me what that is.
A falafel is a chickpea combination. It's a vegetarian and it's highly spiced and it's deep fried, and it's just delightful. Think of it with a vegetarian meatball with an attitude. It's great.
That's cute.
Served
I like
on
that.
Top of a salad with their homemade tzatziki and their great olive oil that they have there. Really good. So if you want to start off in the year eating healthy, that's one of the places where you can go.
Good idea. Good idea. And it's just the letter J.
Just the letter J.
Pasteria.
I think Pisteria or something like
that. Then you mentioned Mexican food.
Oh, that's Arzola's.
Fajitas.
Arzola's has the Arzola's fajitas and margaritas over on Benton Hill. One of the best places for fajitas and the most creative, handcrafted margaritas you'd ever want to taste.
Now, where is that?
I wish I could have the address. My car knows how to get there.
Okay. Well,
I just put it in drive and it goes. It just shows up at the door.
So, Arzola's.
Arzola's.
My goodness. Well, you continue talking about food here until 11:30. And I've been George Mahey. Remember George?
Yeah.
He's everywhere. He was here last Monday. He was on the air with me about this time of talking about various things that he had written about. And then he was on television the same night on Channel 4. So it's
great. George is making the rounds. I'm glad to hear it.
Great publicity. You get out and make the rounds. You're in a lot of different places, making appearances, doing cooking things. Do you still teach?
I still teach. I do more and more programming, presentation work, and historical foodways, and you know, history and food history is my passion.
Right.
And this time of year, I just love it because we finally get to kick off the holiday season. And you know what I'm talking about. It's the carnival season.
Yes, it is.
Kicks off Epiphany, January 6th, 12th Night Ball. And if you can go downtown here, just a few blocks down from where we are now, to the old courthouse on Saturday between 12 and 4, you can go to the free 12th night afternoon ball. And we'll have French colonial music. People will be in costumes. You don't have to have a costume on. But come on in, have a piece of cake, and you might even get a chance to be the king of the ball.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I'll be baking king's cake with a little bean on the inside of it. And whoever admits to getting the bean in the cake first, because I usually hide three beans in the cake, because not everybody will want to be king. And sometimes they eat too fast and they swallow the bean. So you've got to have a backup plan, you see. But yeah, it's a fun night. It's a fun afternoon.
And so it's noon to 4.
It's noon to 4.
The old courthouse.
It's free at the old courthouse. Well, I'm sorry.
No.
It's not at the old courthouse.
No.
It used to be at the old courthouse. It is at the arch itself, and at the museum.
Oh, at the museum, under the arch.
Under the arch.
Oh, wow.
Under the arch.
That's great.
I've done the old courthouse for so many years that I just...
Sure.
I just think of the old courthouse.
Now, what's a king's cake? What is it made of? What is it like?
Well, different kinds of king's cakes depends on the time frame and the area of France. In colonial St. Louis, it's going to be more of a sort of like a pound cake, a heavier cake, and it'll have pecans. I take mine and I brush the top with a marmalade from local fruits that I've find. In this case, I'm using peaches, and I'll dust that with a little bit of powdered sugar, maybe, and then slice it up. I'll hide the beans in it, and it's a fun night. It's a fun afternoon.
Yeah, nice. It's in the afternoon.
It's in the afternoon.
Great.
I'll be demonstrating pralines. I'll be demonstrating madeleines. All these different kinds of traditional French pastries.
What is a madeleine?
A madeleine is a shell-shaped cookie cake, sort of. It's more of a cookie, but when you bite into it, it's moist like a cake. And if you bake them just right, they'll have a little hump on the back.
I'll be darned.
But
that's interesting. Now, is there a charge to come to this? Does it cost?
At the National Park, at the Gateway Arch, mm-hmm. It is free.
Oh, wow.
It's the National Park System that sponsors it, and it is delightful.
Well, that deserves a big star. I want to get there myself. I want to see that. I'm sure there'll be other things going on.
Oh, there'll be other things going on. Of course, you can go down and view the museum. If you haven't seen the new museum yet, there's an opportunity to see all of the exhibits, particularly the French colonial exhibits. That's the first one to your right when you go into the new museum. Check out the exhibit on French cooking. You'll recognize the person in the video.
I wonder who it could... Well,
I don't know.
I mean, your book, where's your book? Oh, here it is. That's my favorite, one of my...
Oh, that's one of them, yeah.
Unique Eats and Eateries of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. It's a few years old. We've lost a few places in that. You know, the pandemic,
sure.
And people have retired and stuff. I used to say that it was my top 99 favorite picks, and I've kind of separated them out into... categories, mm-hmm. like plates with a history, places with a view, such like that.
And see, the Gregorio's Market is in here.
Yes. Yes, indeed. That's a great place to shop.
I mean, I really like this book. I mean, it's called Unique Eats and Eateries of St. Louis. And what did I do in this? The introduction or something in this
book?
Yes,
you did.
And it's really filled with good stuff. But it is interesting, you know, you go through some of these books. Maybe if you look at a gourmet guide from 1984, half the places are gone.
Yeah, remember the old Zagat guides
that
used to be out there? They're all gone.
They are. I mean,
people go onto the internet to get a lot of this stuff, but I think when you have someone that can give their own perspective, who have a rich interest and history into the food community, mm-hmm. where you are, it gives you a little bit more credibility, I think, to want to get in the car and open up your wallet and order up.
Now, what about the Campbell House? So you have a book that relates to the Campbell House, A Gilded Table.
The Gilded Table, recipes and table history of the Campbell family, yes.
What kind of recipes? I mean, we're going back 150 years or something.
Well, sometimes even more than that, because like any recipe collection, if you remember your mom's old recipe box that she cut recipes from or wrote recipes down, Virginia Campbell had her own little recipe book that she hand-printed or wrote out, and some people feel that it might have been like a writing exercise book, but it was very pristine, and it had a broad collection, and I think she wrote and recorded so many recipes that she liked, her family liked, because some of them during the research I found that she lifted word from recipe cookbooks from the 1820s.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting thing. But you can take a look at a person's table and their recipes and how they ate and what they ate, and it can define not only who you are, but the time period, just how affluent and what your own ethnicity is, and just everything that makes you who you are can be traced to the table that you've enjoyed.
Of course. Now you teach, but where do you teach?
Well, right now I teach in small places that are usually just individuals that have me to come in, but I was with Deerberg's and the community college for many, many years, and we're just now starting to explore ways to open that up, because many of these things went Zoom,
sure,
and I prefer teaching with students where I can go hands-on.
Right.
And it's still a little dicey with doing that.
Right. I can understand that. Then what do you teach? What do people want to learn about? What are some of the things? I want to learn how to make spaghetti sauce or whatever.
Well, right now, people may want to learn to make good bouillon, because it's soup weather, making a good hot soup. And bouillon is one of those, I'm going to go back to my French colonial ideas again. On the 29th at the Florissant Valley Historical Society, the Taladinor House that's on the back of the McClure High School campus, was originally began as a French trader's cabin from the 1790s. And on the 29th, they're going to have a bouillon fest, which takes all the great traditions of that French colonial, French-Canadian bouillon. The idea was to get together and celebrate, and because the French love to celebrate.
Yep.
But you have got nice hot soup and made with chicken, which they always said the best was made with a stolen chicken. And it was usually stolen from the neighbor's chicken house next door. So, of course, it was polite to invite the person who gave the chicken, so to speak, to your party.
Right.
And that was kind of a fun thing. In fact, that it became such a problem with swiping chickens that in 1903, the Missouri legislature decided to make a law naming, or I should say proclaiming, that chicken stealing was a felony. But just at night, I guess you could swipe a chicken in the daylight.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. We'll come right back, talk more with Suzanne Corbett. We're going to talk again about food, and then we're going to talk about sports with Ed Wheatley on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Thanks. It's Johnny Rabbit. It's at your service, and it is also the show, and Suzanne Corbett is here off the air. We've been talking about, I don't know where to begin. Well, let's talk about the Green Parrot.
Oh, the Green Parrot.
And Big Bend. What a beautiful place that was.
You know, it was a great place because they had those family-style meals, fried chicken, known for their fried chicken, honey butter, and all you can eat. They just keep bringing those trays out, and that poor parrot out in the front. Because my birthday's in January, my mother would bring me there, and they'd open that door, and that parrot would just freeze to death.
Oh, they really did have that big parrot.
I mean, sometimes I think the restaurant hit bottom when the parrot died. That's the only thing I could think of. You know, they couldn't carry on.
Now, so family-style dinners. It's, where today would you go for that?
You know, one of my favorite places is the Diamond Mineral Springs.
On the other side
of the river here, not very, very far from here. Just on the other side of Pocahontas. I think it's Grand Fork.
It is.
And it is a great place. It's in a building from the 1890s, and menu's still on the chalkboard. Pick out your main dish you want, and next thing you know, you've got more than the meat and three that the Southerners have. You've got like a meat and four, five, and six different dishes that come to your table.
Well, you know, that is, I haven't been there for a heck of a long time. Glad it's still there.
I'm glad it's still there, too, because so many places have died out, and I think you're not going to see the return of a lot of buffets like we used to just because of pandemic concerns and so on and so forth. So I'm thinking those family-style meals are going to come back in the style. You're going to see more people doing that as, I think, pop-up dinner themes.
What is that?
A pop-up dinner theme is, it's sort of like an expansion of wine dinners, but it's dinners at restaurants will stage just as a specialty of the evening with a special menu, maybe grandma's old-fashioned this or that on the menu, some kind of a theme that will bring people in to be able to celebrate and enjoy themselves.
I was thinking of Richard Perry.
Richard Perry with his, oh my goodness, what was his? It was not very far from Lutheran Hospital, the boarding house.
Yeah,
Jefferson Avenue boarding house.
Yep, that was a fine place. They had their big crocks of soup and all that.
Right, it was something.
He had a couple other locations, too, that were good, but I like the idea of family style coming back. I was thinking you were talking about the other side of the river, Castelli's Moonlight.
Oh, another good fried chicken place.
Well, that's true. That is true.
I got chicken on the brain today.
I noticed that. What about Josephine's Tea Room? Do you go up there at all?
I have been. It's been about a year or so since I've been up that way, but boy, she's got some great desserts and pies that are mile high.
Pies. Now that you're talking about pie. Well, I'll tell you a place that I really enjoyed the apple pie is Lester's. Lester's in Clayton Road in Ladue, a good place for hamburgers, and they have a really good matzo ball soup, chicken noodle soup, but they really have a good apple pie. So finding good pies. Now, another place that comes to mind that used to have, well, they're gone, so I can't even think of the name of it. It was on Delmar, right by the old Pageant Theater. But their pies were like their specialty. Earlier, I was talking about the Toddle House, and they used to have what they call icebox pies. They were very good.
Oh, yeah, the icebox pies were great. It was like the pies at Elsa's Landing did.
Yeah.
They were known for pies, soups, and sandwiches. That was it. And that was what their menu was comprised of. So you just came in and enjoyed yourself, and those pies were great. Of course, the Blue Isle's known for their Levy High apple pie, but I like to go to these little bakeries around town and in all the little towns or wherever I go, because you'll find some great specialties. Fetterhoffer's is one of my favorites because it's an old-fashioned bakery that
it is.
I remember that has a German background, and you can't beat their Stollens, but their pies. Oh, my goodness. And their cheesecakes, chiffon cheesecake, those cheesecakes that are light and fluffy. As soon as you put it in your mouth, it just evaporates. It just,
You know, they have wonderful bread.
Yes.
At Fetterhoffer's. And we got a loaf of butter and egg bread.
We called that cobblestone bread when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with a bumpy...
Yeah, it was all cobblestone bread. And I think I've probably pushed that name back into the forefront again, because when Cheryl, who's the owner, that I go in and say hello and get my cobblestone bread, she goes, more people are ordering cobblestone bread now because of you.
I'll be darned. Well, that's good. It's something to get. The place I couldn't remember, of Golden Fried Chicken Loaf.
Oh, yeah.
On Delmar. That was another
that
great
was
chicken
it. Yeah,
place.
I can
pies.
Still see their ad. There was this loaf of bread with these chicken legs hanging off and over the side of
that's
it.
That's true.
You know, the old ephemera, the advertisements of some of these restaurants were great. Mm-hmm. I can remember the Shangri-La Rice Bowl had wonderful graphics in the yellow pages, because I remember as a kid that was one of my favorite things I would do. And I would turn the pages of the restaurant section and kind of like plan where I wanted to go to dinner whenever I could get a hold of the money to go.
The yellow pages.
Yeah, I miss those.
I do, too. It's a
Google
shame.
Google just doesn't have the ads to entice me.
No, it really doesn't. Another book, Push Carts and Stalls. You wrote that book. Now, what is that book about, Push Carts and Stalls?
Push Carts and Stalls, the Soulard Market History Cookbook. Remember, I'm a truck farm kid.
Yep.
Raised on a truck farm in South County. And it takes a look at the history of the market and mostly all of the farmers and the vendors that were there and those traditional recipes from the turn of the 20th century up to the middle of the 20th century.
Soulard Market is still strong, I believe.
Oh, it's still strong. It's still strong. It has changed through the decades and through the years. From even when I first wrote that book, things have changed. But it still maintains itself. And the core has always been the farmers.
Now, what else do you make at home? If you're making something for yourself, and you don't want to get a frozen dinner out of the freezer, you want to make something kind of simple, not too hard to do. Do you have any standby things?
Well, I first go out and steal a chicken.
Hey.
No, I buy a chicken, and I'll take that chicken, and I'll either make it into like a piccata, or I might deep fry it. But most of the time, I'll just saute it. Or I'll take it and skewer it and throw it on a grill and just do something very easy and simple with a quick sauce, like a lemon sauce. And it works out very well.
That is good. We just got that recently, a chicken lemon. It's a wonderful flavor.
Lemon chicken, yes.
Oh, what about the Year of the Rabbit?
It is the Year of the Rabbit. Well, it's almost the Year of the Rabbit, And you should celebrate.
I am celebrating already.
Okay. I think Chinese New Year is January 22nd. So you want to go out and find some good, what I will call Cantonese food. The Chinese food that ruled the restaurants back in the day in
everywhere.
The 50s, 60s, and the 70s. You didn't get into Sichuan and Hunan and some of these other regional cuisines, which are all good.
Oh, yeah.
But back in the day, it was Cantonese, egg foo young, mugu gai pan.
Yes, yes.
Oh, mugu gai pan and sweet and sour anything.
The first Sichuan restaurant in St. Louis was the Lantern House, Delmar and Skinker. A guy came over from the old country. His brother was a dentist here, and he it's kind of weird. It's too spicy, too hot, but it just taken over Cantonese. I don't know where to go for it.
Well, I actually starting to see a trend where Cantonese, the American Cantonese style, is starting to come back.
Good.
It's like old comfort food, just like a lot of the other types of comfort foods that are hitting the menu.
Right. Right. That's good. Good to know.
I mean, I'd go for Muga Gai Pan right now.
I could, too. All right, well, so what about shopping? Where do you have a certain store? Are you like, this is your favorite grocery store, supermarket, or whatever?
Oh, my goodness. Well, then again, it depends on what I'm looking for and what I'm cooking. Because I grew up where you went to the butcher shop, you went to the baker, you went to the farm market, and you went to the grocery store that was just very, very small at the time. You didn't have these superstores like you have now at Schnucks and Deerberg's and, you know, those places. But
thank you, Suzanne, for all of your information and all of these tips and all of this stuff. And now you made me awfully hungry, so who knows what'll happen.
I've done my job.
You have done it. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're here at your service in KMOX. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're on the show for Amy and Chris today, and Ed Wheatley is here looking at one of his, he's a stack of books. What is that book you got in front of you, Ed?
That's the latest one, St. Louis Sports Memories. It's about forgotten teams and moments from America's best sports town. St. Louis is definitely the best sports town in America.
Ed Wheatley is who I turned to for an answer. Years ago, I'd always call Bob Burns. Bob Burns. I mean, I could ask him the most esoteric, unusual, off-the-wall question. He'd say, well, that was a so-and-so and a such-and-such list like that. And then if I couldn't get a hold of Bob Burns, I'd call Bob Bragg.
Right.
And Bob Bragg, when he was at home, you'd always hear a canary. You'd always a canary in the background whistling away. So you're here to give us all the answers about sports. Now, what's in that book? What's the theme of the book?
The theme of the book is America is the best sports town in America. And why? I mean, you know, we have this extreme diverse history of sports and sports first. You know, it's not just we're a one or two team town. We have a rich history, you know, 150 years plus. And, you know, when you get into all the little things past the baseball and the football and the hockey teams, you know, things like corkball was created in St. Louis, you know. We had the Budweiser team from bowling. You know, St. Louis was the bowling capital of the world. You know, we had all the great tennis players here at the Armory, you know, from Jimmy Connors and Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe had to move to St. Louis to play because he couldn't play in Richmond, Virginia, of all places. You know, we've had some of the greatest golf tournaments in St. Louis, but it's, you know, we, of course, were the wrestling capital of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we're the chess capital of the world. And yes, chess is a sport, you know.
Sure
so
is.
So it's just this on and on. And who were these people and who are these teams? You know, St. Louis, one of St. Louis University, holds more soccer titles than any other university
I
in the
no
country.
Idea. No yeah. idea.
And besides St. Louis U and their 10 titles, we had Florissant Valley and all their titles. You know, in double digits out there for men and women, SIU, Edwardsville. I mean, we were the soccer capital of North America, and I think very soon we're going to show people what the love of soccer is like here in St. Louis next month.
Have you been to the new stadium?
I've been around it and through it, yeah, but, you know, haven't sat through any of the games yet, but looking forward to it.
That's exciting. It really is.
It brought back
a whole neighborhood, too.
Well, it's not always a whole neighborhood. It's, you know, it goes back into, you know, because I go into all these histories of all these sports and the greatness. I mean, and it was one of those things, like, you know, growing up, St. Louis was a very heavy Catholic population. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was the sport of the Catholics. I remember as a young kid, you were either a public or a Catholic. You know, the publics played baseball and football and the Catholics played soccer. And that's what really contributed to such a long, rich history of soccer in St. Louis.
Now, how did you get started in sports? And then that's your career now.
Well, yeah, after retiring, you know, I grew up in baseball. My dad played professional baseball briefly. I was heavily involved, bat boys and all the things for all those years. And, I mean, I still play senior baseball all across the country, and we'll head to Florida for a spring training kickoff tournament in a few weeks. But it's just, you know, the love of the game. But it's if you're a St. Louisan, sports is our religion, you know?
Yeah.
It is the religion of St. Louis, and it's the one thing that brings people together. You think about a couple months ago in September and October, strangers start talking to other people in shopping lines, you know? You think Pujols is going to get it, or do you see that one? It brings people together, and I think this heritage that we have across so many sports is just what this town, you know, we have a lot of things that give us bad press. But this is the one thing you can never give us bad press about. This is something special, and we should, in St. Louis, raise our sports heritage.
Now, what about school? Where'd you go to school?
I went to school up Riverview Gardens back in the days when that was a different, you know, Bob Cuban was an alumni of Riverview Gardens. And then, you know, I went to University of Missouri, St. Louis here. and I have multiple degrees from there. But, you know, so I've been always around here and just been involved with sports all my life.
Now, I see you've got a notice here about a Hall of Fame luncheon.
Yeah, yeah.
When is that? Where is that?
March 14th. We're going to be at the MAC. Based on this book, St. Louis Sports Memories, we're going to go back and visit all these sports, and we're going to bring in a lot of the premier athletes from these teams in this history. We're going to, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll get a Bob Pettit and some of the other Hawks when we talk about the St. Louis Hawks. You know, Ray Bluth, one of the surviving members of Team Budweiser in bowling just ran the country. You know, we're going to go through the hockey stars of the early Blues, the football stars of the early Cardinals. And, you know, that was one of the things. People, inside this book, there's so many things. You know, when you ask a person, here we are headed to the playoffs in football, name the four NFL football teams that called St. Louis home. And it's like, what?
Yeah,
they only know the Cardinals and the Rams. There were two others. And the same, the Blues were not the first NHL team, nor were the Hawks the first NBA team. So, I mean, that's what really drives the inquisitive reader in this book to keep reading. And so we're going to bring that memory and all back at the Missouri Athletic Club. It's sponsored by the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. You can Google St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame, and you'll take you right to the site where you can inquire about tickets.
You're talking about the Gunners, I assume?
The Gunners were one of them, and so were the All-Stars. So you're very good. You got three out of a four.
What about the Flyers?
The Flyers were a minor league team. They were the minor league teams of the Blackhawks. And see, the Wirtz family, who owned the Blackhawks, also owned the arena. And one of the ways Wirtz wanted to dump the arena, because it was getting aged and old, it goes all the way back to the 1920s there. So in 1967, when they were talking about an expansion in the NHL, the slot that the Blues got was actually going to Baltimore. And Wirtz and them stepped in and said, no, I want it to be St. Louis. I want competition, you know, a rivalry with the Blackhawks, but more importantly, he wanted to get rid of the arena because if you had a team there, they, bylaws of the NHL would not allow one team to be the landlord of another team. So, you know, when Solomon bought it from him, he then took it, dressed it up, and made it the old barn that we all loved and cheered at.
Of course. Well, and then one team being a landlord, the Browns and the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. That was a relationship, you know, for 52 years practically. And the Cardinals had a separate field up at Natural Bridge and Vandeventer, right across from Fairgrounds Park. That's where they played.
Robinson Field?
Robeson Field.
Robeson.
It was called originally New Sportsman's Park. It was called Robeson Field. It was called League Park. It had all these names. But the most prominent one, as you're correct, is Robeson Field, named after the two brothers who owned the team at that time. And it was the last wooden grandstand structure in the major leagues. And in those days, you know, men, they smoked a lot of cigars, which created a lot of fires. And it kept having fires and burning down. And finally, it got to the point you couldn't play there anymore. And it was a really turning point in St. Louis sports history because all of a sudden, the Cardinals don't have a stadium. It's dilapidated. Are they going to move? And also at that time, from when they came into the National League in 1892 till 1920 when these events were happening, they were a terrible team. They were absolutely horrendous, either last place or second to last. They were a very bad team. So they didn't have a lot of money. And, you know, it looked like they could have been out of St. Louis. But Branch Rickey had moved over from the Browns to the Cardinals, and he thought about, I got a better idea. We can't build one. We don't want to move. He went down and talked to Philip DeCatsby Ball, his old boss for the St. Louis Browns, who he knew was kind of a, I wouldn't say cheapskate, but, you know, there's a word, something like that. And he said, look, you don't play here half the year. It's sitting empty. You're not earning on it. Why don't we move in and play while you're on the road and you get money? And he gets him to sign this big lease. He just didn't divide it by like 30 to see it's not that much money. And then Rickey took that money and built the farm system because the Catsby Ball would not give him the money to do it. And then that led to the great Cardinal teams of 26, 28, 30, 31, 34, 42, 43, 44, 46. What if the Browns had said, no, you can't come?
Yeah.
St. Louis would be a Browns town today.
Yeah, it would be. Well, it is a bronze town in a way.
Well, it still is. It's really come back in these last years, yes.
No, we're going to talk about that, okay?
Yeah.
The St. Louis Browns fan club. And just one thing, to see a sports Hall of Fame, is it the stadium? Is that the best place?
Well, right now we're in a transition because it was in Enterprise Center at that time. Today, you know, and when they did the renovation prior to the All-Star game, we had to move everything out. So we are in the process of reestablishing all these displays into a new home.
Where is the home?
Yeah, we're still working through that. We had one that we were, and I don't want to get into the issues. There was going to be development coming, and you know, the pandemic kind of slowed things down and caused some things that you thought were going to be moving forward in entities to pull back.
Ed Wheatley is with us. We're going to talk more about sports in the next few minutes here on KMOX. And then we're going to hear from John Brown, who's going to be calling us from not from Channel 2 in St. Louis. He's now on Fox 35 in Orlando, Florida. As we'll talk about what he's up to later on, Tim O'Neill from the Post-Dispatch. We're going to do kind of a review of a history of crime in St. Louis on KMOX. This is At Your Service with Johnny Rabbit on the show for Amy and Chris today. Ed Wheatley is with us. We've been talking here a little bit about the Sports Hall of Fame luncheon. Now, anybody can go to this?
It's going to be open to the public. And the other thing that's going to be neat about it, this is going to be in a luncheon where the athletes are going to sit at the table with the fans and attendees.
Oh, great.
Not up far away on some dais.
Great idea.
You know, we want it. Which legend are you going to have at your table? We'll lay that all out. But I mean, it's, you know, to get autographs, to be up with these guys, I think, is something that adds to this.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
And the date?
March 14th.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Tuesday.
At the MAC downtown.
That's correct.
And now this is a luncheon, so it's
a luncheon called Lunching with the Stars.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
This is Johnny Rabbit. We're on the show for Amy and Chris today, and Ed Wheatley is here looking at one of his, he's a stack of books. What is that book you got in front of you, Ed?
That's the latest one, St. Louis Sports Memories. It's about forgotten teams and moments from America's best sports town. St. Louis is definitely the best sports town in America.
Ed Wheatley is who I turned to for an answer. Years ago, I'd always call Bob Burns. Bob Burns. I mean, I could ask him the most esoteric, unusual, off-the-wall question. He'd say, yeah, well, that was a so-and-so and a such-and-such list like that. And then if I couldn't get a hold of Bob Burns, I'd call Bob Bragg.
Right.
And Bob Bragg, when he was at home, you'd always hear a canary. You'd always a canary in the background whistling away. So you're here to give us all the answers about sports. Now, what's in that book? What's the theme of the book?
Of the book is America is the best sports town in America, and why? I mean, you know, we have this extreme diverse history of sports and sports first. You know, it's not just we're a one or two team town. We have a rich history, you know, 150 years plus. And, you know, when you get into all the little things past the baseball and the football and the hockey teams, you know, things like corkball was created in St. Louis, you know. We had the Budweiser team from bowling. You know, St. Louis was the bowling capital of the world. You know, we had all the great tennis players here at the Armory, you know, from Jimmy Connors and Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe had to move to St. Louis to play because he couldn't play in Richmond, Virginia, of all places. You know, we've had some of the greatest golf tournaments in St. Louis, but it's, you know, we, of course, were the wrestling capital of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we're the chess capital of the world. And yes, chess is a sport, you know.
Sure
is. So it's just this on and on. And who were these people and who these teams? You know, St. Louis, one of St. Louis University, holds more soccer titles than any other university
in
the country.
I had no idea. No idea.
And besides St. Louis U and their 10 titles, we had Florissant Valley and all their titles. You know, in double digits out there for men and women, SIU, Edwardsville. I mean, we were the soccer capital of North America, and I think very soon we're going to show people what the love of soccer is like here in St. Louis next month.
Have you been to the new stadium?
I've been around it and through it, yeah, but, you know, haven't sat through any of the games yet, but looking forward to it.
That's exciting. It really is. It
really
brought back a whole neighborhood, too.
Well, it's not always a whole neighborhood. It's, you know, it goes back into, you know, because I go into all these histories of all these sports and the greatness. I mean, and it was one of those things, like, you know, growing up, St. Louis was a very heavy Catholic population. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was the sport of the Catholics. I remember as a young kid, you were either a public or a Catholic. You know, the publics played baseball and football and the Catholics played soccer. And that's what really contributed to such a long, rich history of soccer in St. Louis.
Now, how did you get started in sports? And then that's your career now.
Well, yeah, after retiring, you know, I grew up in baseball. My dad played professional baseball briefly. I was heavily involved, bat boys and all the things for all those years. And, I mean, I still play senior baseball all across the country, and we'll head to Florida for a spring training kickoff tournament in a few weeks. But it's just, you know, the love of the game. But it's, if you're a St. Louisan, sports is our religion, you know?
Yeah.
It is the religion of St. Louis, and it's the one thing that brings people together. You think about a couple months ago in September and October, strangers start talking to other people in shopping lines, you know? You think Pujols is going to get it, or do you see that one? It brings people together, and I think this heritage that we have across so many sports is just what this town, you know, we have a lot of things that give us bad press. But this is the one thing you can never give us bad press about. This is something special, and we should, in St. Louis, raise our sports heritage.
Now, what about school? Where'd you go to school?
I went to school up Riverview Gardens back in the days when that was a different, you know, Bob Cuban was an alumni of Riverview Gardens. And then, you know, I went to University of Missouri, St. Louis here, and I have multiple degrees from there. But, you know, so I've been always around here and just been involved with sports all my life.
Now, I see you've got a notice here about a Hall of Fame luncheon.
Yeah, yeah.
When is that? Where is that?
March 14th. We're going to be at the MAC. Based on this book, St. Louis Sports Memories, We're going to go back and visit all these sports, and we're going to bring in a lot of the premier athletes from these teams in this history. We're going to, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll get a Bob Pettit and some of the other Hawks when we talk about the St. Louis Hawks. You know, Ray Bluth, one of the surviving members of Team Budweiser in bowling, yeah, that bowling. Just ran the country. You know, we're going to go through the hockey stars of the early Blues, the football stars of the early Cardinals. And, you know, that was one of the things. People, inside this book, there's so many things. You know, when you ask a person, here we are headed to the playoffs in football, name the four NFL football teams that called St. Louis home. And it's like, what?
Yeah,
they only know the Cardinals and the Rams. There were two others. And the same, the Blues were not the first NHL team, nor were the Hawks the first NBA team. So, I mean, that's what really drives the inquisitive reader in this book to keep reading. And so we're going to bring that memory and all back at the Missouri Athletic Club. It's sponsored by the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. You can Google St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame, and you'll take you right to the site where you can inquire about tickets.
You're talking about the Gunners, I assume?
The Gunners were one of them, and so were the All-Stars. So you're very good. You got three out of a four.
What about the Flyers?
The Flyers were a minor league team. They were the minor league teams of the Blackhawks. And see, the Wirtz family, who owned the Blackhawks, also owned the arena. And one of the ways Wirtz wanted to dump the arena, because it was getting aged and old, it goes all the way back to the 1920s there. So in 1967, when they were talking about an expansion in the NHL, the slot that the Blues got was actually going to Baltimore. And Wirtz and them stepped in and said, no, I want it to be St. Louis. I want competition, you know, a rivalry with the Blackhawks. But more importantly, he wanted to get rid of the arena, because if you had a team there, they, bylaws of the NHL would not allow one team to be the landlord of another team. So, Solomon bought it from him, he then took it, dressed it up, and made it the old barn that we all loved and cheered at.
Of course. Well, and then one team being a landlord, the Browns and the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. That was a relationship, you know, for 52 years practically. And the Cardinals had a separate field up at Natural Bridge and Vandeventer, right across from Fairgrounds Park. That's where they played.
Robinson Field?
Robeson Field.
Robeson.
It was called originally New Sportsman's Park. It was called Robeson Field. It was called League Park. It had all these names. But the most prominent one, is you're correct, is Robeson Field, named after the two brothers who owned the team at that time. And it was the last wooden grandstand structure in the major leagues. And in those days, you know, men, they smoked a lot of cigars, which created a lot of fires. And it kept having fires and burning down. And finally, it got to the point you couldn't play there anymore. And it was a really turning point in St. Louis sports history, because all of a sudden, the Cardinals don't have a stadium. It's dilapidated. Are they going to move? And also at that time, from when they came into the National League in 1892 till 1920, when this events were happening, they were a terrible team. They were absolutely horrendous, either last place or second to last. They were a very bad team. So they didn't have a lot of money. And, you know, it looked like they could have been out of St. Louis. But Branch Rickey had moved over from the Browns to the Cardinals, and he thought about, I got a better idea. We can't build one. We don't want to move. He went down and talked to Philip DeCatsby Ball, his old boss for the St. Louis Browns, who he knew was kind of a, I wouldn't say cheapskate, but, you know, there's a word, something like that. And he said, look, you don't play here half the year. It's sitting empty. You're not earning on it. Why don't we move in and play while you're on the road and you get money? And he gets him to sign this big lease. He just didn't divide it by like 30 to see it's not that much money. And then Rickey took that money and built the farm system, because the Catsby Ball would not give him the money to do it. And then that led to the great Cardinal teams of 26, 28, 30, 31, 34, 42, 43, 44, 46. What if the Browns had said, no, you can't come?
Yeah.
St. Louis would be a Browns town today.
Yeah, it would be. Well, it is a Browns town in a way.
Well, it still is. It's really come back in these last years, yes.
No, we're going to talk about that, okay?
Yeah.
The St. Louis Browns fan club. And just one thing, to see a Sports Hall of Fame is that The stadium, is that the best place?
Well, right now we're in the in a transition because it was in Enterprise Center
right.
at that time. Today, you know, and when they did the renovation prior to the All-Star game, we had to move everything out. So we are in the process of reestablishing all these displays into a new home.
Where is the home?
Yeah, we're still working through that. We had one. That we were, and I don't want to get into the issues that was going to development coming, and you know the pandemic kind of slowed things down and caused some things that you thought were going to be moving forward in entities to pull back.
But, Ed Wheatley is with us. We're going to talk more about sports in the next few minutes here on KMOX, and then we're going to hear from John Brown, who's going to be calling us from not from Channel 2 in St. Louis. He's now on Fox 35 in Orlando, Florida, as we'll talk about what he's up to. Later on, Tim O'Neill from the Post-Dispatch. We're going to do kind of a review of a history of crime in St. Louis on KMOX. This is At Your Service with Johnny Rabbit on the show for Amy and Chris today. Ed Wheatley is with us. We've been talking here a little bit about the Sports Hall of Fame luncheon. Now, anybody can go to this?
Open anybody,
to
the public. It's going to be open to the public. And the other thing that's going to be neat about it, this is going to be in a luncheon where the athletes are going to sit at the table with the fans and attendees.
Oh, great.
Not up far away in on some dais.
Great idea.
You know, we want it. You may, which legend are you going to have at your table? We'll lay that all out. But I mean, it's, you know, to get autographs, to be up with these guys, I think, is something that adds to this.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
And the date?
March 14th.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Tuesday.
At the MAC downtown.
That's correct.
And now this is a luncheon, so it's
a luncheon called Lunching with the Stars.
Ah, that sounds good. Now people can find out about it. How?
They can go to the, just Google St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. It'll take you right to, you know, the information and how to buy tickets right there online.
Now, there's going to be something about, we were going to talk about the Browns fan club, but what about the Browns? Are going to have an exhibition.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 2023 is the 70th anniversary of the last season of the St. Louis Browns, and we at the St. Louis Browns Historical Society.
It's 70 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Are going to celebrate that. We've got so many events all season long. I mean, we never stopped. We didn't stop in 2022 or anything. We continue to have events and keep the Browns legacy alive and the people, the memories. And we're going to have a joint display, a museum quality gallery over at the Eugene Field House Museum, which is there on Broadway, diagonal
from the stadium.
From the stadium.
Yeah,
so
Broadway
as fans come all summer, they can come and see the history of the Browns display. Now, I want to say one thing, because this is nothing to take away from the Cardinals Hall of Fame, which has an excellent display on the Browns. But this goes into much more history of the Browns, because the Cardinals Hall of Fame is their brand. But I give kudos to the DeWitt family for, you know, everything they've got. You know, Eddie Goodell's uniform is in there, because that uniform of Eddie Goodell, the little 3'7" guy, that was Bill DeWitt Jr.'s uniform. But we're going to go through the history, and they want, you know, to help bring people in to see this fabulous Eugene Field piece of museum that they have. And we're going to take up their offer, and we're going to have a big opening night celebration at the in the last week of March. I think it's March 28th is what they're tentatively planning. And that's going to run all the way through October. So as baseball fans come to St. Louis, visit the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and then also stop by and see the Browns museum there.
That's exciting.
Museum. Yes.
And it's going to be, well, for a few months, so you'll have the whole season.
It's going to be the whole season from opening before opening day through hopefully the World Series.
That's one of the best places to park, too, at the parking lot for a ball game.
Yes, it is.
It's a good spot. Good place. And well, thank you for telling me about that. Now, the Browns Club, what is it called? What's the official?
St. Louis Browns Historical Society and Fan Club. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Historical Society part, you know, keep the legacy alive, keep the archives, keep the history. And then the fan club, you know, we have so many exciting things every year. You know, I think it's August 10th, we will be over at the Gateway Grizzlies, where every year they partner with us and we pick a year. And we honor one of the great Browns players, like George Sisler back 1 year. And we honored the 1922 Browns. George Sisler was one of the greatest men to ever play the game, Hall of Famer, and he was on the Browns. And we dress up the Grizzlies team in the uniforms of that year and that person, and we dress up the visitors in the Washington Senators simply because I like the Senators' uniforms, and nobody sees them. And we give away a bobblehead. We've done that of George Sisler. We did it for Roy Sievers, the first ever Rookie of the Year in 1949 in the American League with the Browns. We did it for Don Larson. Last year, we did it for Satchel Paige. On January 16th, we will reveal who the bobblehead honoring the player and the uniforms and everything that will come. And, you know, I wish I could do it today, but January 16th is when we're going to release.
Well, let us know about that, for sure.
Because it's going to be a great surprise. I think it's going to be really good. It's just so much fun. We fill up the stadium, people wearing Browns uniforms and hats, shirts, and you're watching these teams play in these retro uniforms. And, you know, for one day, it's like, you're back in Sportsman's Park watching.
That's great. That really is. Now, where do you get hats and shirts and stuff? Who sells that?
Well, we go through Major League Baseball, and the Grizzlies have their vendors that they use. But, I mean, you can pretty much get Browns hats. I mean, ever since we really, you know, we wrote the book on the Browns back in 2017 to revitalize this team's legacy, and we made the two PBS movies. I mean, it's kind of funny. There's Brown stuff at the rally houses. It's at the Cardinals shops. They're everywhere. And like, man, we don't get a penny off it, but we spread the legacy, and that's the thing that's
most
important.
Have.
Yeah.
And the wrestling at the Chase is another. We'll get another documentary.
Yeah, it's double. I tell you what, you know, walking down the street, you're in a, you know, at a restaurant or at the grocery store, somebody goes, I want to tell you about my memory of wrestling at the Chase. Everybody has a memory.
They do.
And, you know, the book has done well, the film has done well. 9 PBS, you know, continues to show it and love it. And, it's just one of those feel-good times about St. Louis that I spoke about earlier, whether it's baseball, wrestling, you know.
Yes.
The Blues finally winning the Stanley Cup. The city rallies around sports. We may have disagreements on political issues, racial issues, but there's no arguing about sports.
No, there's not. And your books are all available through Reedy Press.
Reedy Press, that's
Josh
right.
Stevens was here last week, and Josh said you've got a Cardinals book for kids coming up.
Yeah, they've asked me to put, you know, baseball is kind of, you know, I wouldn't say taking a backseat, but it's not, you know, for decades, it was the sport all summer. It owned the summer. And now, you know, hockey and the NBA goes into the summer almost to July, and then football starts up in August. Baseball has taken a little bit of a backseat, and the same way with soccer coming, you know. And it was like, let people be energized about baseball again. Understand the game and who were the heroes here. Because next to the New York Yankees, the Cardinals have won the most world championships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very important that people remember. And, you know, I do a lot of talking about different books or whatever thing in high schools. They have me come and talk about, you know, sports and culture and all these different things we talk about. And, it's really sad to see a generation that actually does not know who Stan Musial was.
That's hard to think about.
It is hard to think about, you know. And so, again, it's to kind of teach everything about the Cardinals and a way of messaging it that kids can be enlightened so that when they go and fill that stadium, which St. Louis does and other cities don't, they will have an extra special memory.
Oh, you're right. Right, Van. So good that you're doing all this. And I know we have talked about a program I'm going to be doing at the Missouri Historical Society.
Oh, yes.
I don't have a date yet. It's in May.
It's in May.
And it's going to be St. Louis during World War I, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam.
Yeah.
But I hope that you can come
Absolutely.
And talk about.
I'm waiting for you to tell me the date.
Okay.
I'm there.
I will talk about sports.
Because sports, and that's one of the things I do teach and some or speak at some of these schools with, is how sports has gotten the country through a lot of these things. It wouldn't have been sports. It would have been a much harder. Like, you know, Franklin Roosevelt in early January 42, right after Pearl Harbor, said there will be sport baseball.
Hmm.
You know, World War I, they cut back the season. He says, no, we're going to have it because people are going to work long, hard hours in this war effort, and you need to come home at night and sit with your family, listen to the radio, and enjoy baseball to relax to go to work. And it also then pushed to have night baseball so that that could happen.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, those are the things
important.
We'll get into. Yeah.
So there's a lot more to talk about, and I know you'll keep us up to date on what's going on the And I'll get a hold of our friends at the it's the Field House Museum is technically the name of the Eugene Field House for the exhibition coming up in probably March 28th through October. And Wayne, before we go, I just wanted to ask you about ballparks, Negro League ballparks. And where were they?
Well, there were several. You know, as I always give talks, as people come down Highway 40 and they see Chaffetz Arena.
Yep.
And then across the street is Harris Stowe. And there's a baseball field there in the middle. That was the home field of the St. Louis Stars, the great Negro League team of the 1920s and early 30s. And then before the Stars, there was the St. Louis Giants, and they played over at Clarence and Broadway right on the east side of Highway 70. As you come around O'Fallon Park, there's that little bend, curve in the road. If you were just go on the east side there at Broadway is Clarence, and that was where Giants Stadium was.
So interesting. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you
so much. That's Ed Wheatley. This is Johnny Rabbit at KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.